From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Ahead, new findings on peanut allergies. But first, if you felt the room jostle at about 6:20 a.m., you're not crazy. The U.S. Geological Survey reports a 3.1 magnitude quake centered 3 miles east-northeast of Irving happened right about then. Police in Irving had no immediate reports of damage or anyone hurt. Reddit users from Oaklawn and Irving started a thread asking if others felt it. Seismologists have said that dozens of small quakes rattling North Texas in recent months were concentrated along a narrow 2-mile subsurface fault. Experts from Southern Methodist University weeks ago placed more than 20 monitors around the quake sites and then determined the fault existed. Officials still won't say for sure what's causing the quakes. Dallas County high school seniors missed out on $34 million in college grants last year. That's according to Commit, a local nonprofit that says more than half of the students didn't apply for financial aid. Stella Chavez talks to them about how they're working to change that.
Applying for financial aid before applying to college may sound like a chore, or even daunting. After all, there are all those questions you have to answer. There are the easy ones.
What is the name of your high school? Bryan Adams High School. What is the city of your high school located? Dallas.
Alex Castillo, a senior, doesn't mind those questions, but others are trickier.
As determined by court in your state of legal residence, are you or were you in, what?
An emancipated
minor. No, right?
No.
Fortunately for Alex, he was at a recent financial aid workshop for Dallas County high school students. He and his parents got help filling out online forms from a team of volunteers.
When we talked to students that are currently in college, they were telling us stories about how some of their friends didn't know about it and were paying for college using credit cards, which is crazy and not what we want at all.
That's Sarah Jensen, who works for the nonprofit education group Commit. She's talking about how many students don't know about the free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA. There's also the Texas version called TASFA. Last year, Dallas County students missed out on more than $34 million in financial aid. Not all of them are thinking about going to college, but filling out these forms may encourage the students to continue their studies after high school.
Everybody worries about paying for college. That's the number one barrier for students thinking about college. And if a student doesn't think that they can pay for college, they're probably not going to take the steps that they need to enroll in those pre-AP classes or AP classes or really see themselves in college.
Jensen says that's why Commit, United Way, and the Dallas Public Library have teamed up with Dallas and Richardson School Districts, UNT, and other local groups. According to Commit's estimates, about 6,000 low-income seniors in Dallas County did not file a financial aid form last year. Sometimes the reason is misinformation. Families may think that just filling out a form obligates them to take out loans.
Some families may think, well, we don't need to fill that out because we probably make too much to qualify for aid. But what they don't realize is that filling out the FAFSA is also how you have access to unsubsidized Stafford loans, which everybody qualifies for when you fill out the application.
This is the third year that Commit has offered these workshops. In the beginning, only 40% of students had applied for aid. The goal is to raise that number to half by 2018. Back at the workshop, Alex's mom, Olga Castillo, says she's proud of her son. Castillo says she's glad Alex is trying to better himself. It hasn't been easy, though, in part because she and her husband don't know about all the resources that are available. And she adds, the counselor at Alex's school has been very busy working with other students.
La verdad, él solo con sus amigos.
She says his friends who've already graduated from high school have given him advice about applying to college. If Alex is accepted to his school of choice, the University of Texas at Arlington, filling out all those tricky FAFSA forms could pay off. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
To find out about financial aid workshops scheduled this weekend, go to keranews.org. This week, a new report on peanut allergies in the New England Journal of Medicine turns advice to young parents on its ear. Dr. Rebecca Grushala co-wrote the piece, and she's the head of allergy and immunology at UT Southwestern Dallas. She sits down with Vice President of News Rick Holter for the Friday Conversation.
Rebecca Grushala, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
The numbers are stunning. You write that peanut allergy rates have quadrupled over the last decade and a half. 1 in 13 American kids now are affected. Let's start back in 2000. What changed that year?
The guidelines that are actually put forth by the American Academy of Pediatrics stated that you should withhold introducing peanut into the diet of a child that might potentially develop allergies and introduce it not until 3 years of age. And maybe this will help curb the rise in peanut allergy. Well, just the opposite happened. Peanut allergy continued to rise. Therefore, the experts got together again in 2008 and said there is not sufficient evidence to suggest or that we continue this practice of withholding peanut. So at that time, basically, the guidelines changed to just say you introduce peanut regularly, but not early introduction.
Right.
And that's where this study comes in.
So how does this study change the game?
Children very young were evaluated, children 4 months to 11 months of age. And peanut protein, not a peanut, because that's a choking hazard, but peanut protein was introduced, and these children were characterized into two different groups. Either they were in the consumption group in which they got peanut, or in a group that did not get peanut.
And these were 500 children in Britain.
Correct. What the study showed was that when peanut was introduced early, that the children in the consumption group had a markedly decreased rate of development of peanut allergy compared to those that avoided peanut. 1.9% in the consumption group versus 13.7% in the avoidance group.
Do you think the American Association of Pediatrics will change its recommendations to parents now?
I think so. It's important to note that it'll be not only the American Academy of Pediatrics, there will be allergy immunology specialists, parent groups, school teachers, nurses coming together to look at revising the guidelines.
When you wrote this piece for the New England Journal of Medicine, you used some pretty strong words, compelling, alarming even. Were you expecting such an immediate national and international reaction?
I knew that there would be media attention, but not to this extent. But I think it's actually a good thing because those are strong words, but the data is indeed so compelling that I think those words are definitely warranted and not over the top.
We have a producer who loves peanut butter, and she just had a baby. What would you tell her right now?
What I would say is if her child tends to be allergic, as evidenced by egg allergy or eczema, or if either she or her husband have allergies, then I would have the child evaluated by an allergy immunology specialist to ensure that they would be skin test negative to peanut. And if they were, if the child was, then to go ahead and introduce peanut early. Now, if the child has no history of allergy, there's no allergy in the family, then peanut protein can be introduced along with other foods according to the current guidelines.
Dr. Rebecca Grushala, head of immunology and allergy at UT Southwestern, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Most of the listening area is under a winter weather advisory until 6 tomorrow night. Otherwise today, cloudy skies, a 50% chance for snow, with a possible inch of accumulation with a high near 33. Tonight, cloudy, a chance for freezing drizzle with a low around 27. Tomorrow, cloudy with the possibility of more freezing rain with a high near 38. It's currently 27 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 29 in Tyler, and 23 in Wichita Falls. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.